Vista. Let's turn to Psalms. Let's make it 85, please. Psalmist says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw thine anger to all generations? Will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I'll hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. Let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, especially for just visiting us this morning, dear Lord. We know that you are here. So wonderful just having your presence among us, dear Lord God. Pray that you'll be again. Just continue to be with us through the day, dear Lord. We need you in every minute and every hour. There's so many things happening. Pray that you'll bless the people as they come. Bless my wife as she travels back from Jacksonville. We just thank you for all the families that are here and those that are visiting. All our different things happening in our lives, we look all to you, knowing that you are the one that will comfort us in this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I sing glory to your name. Oh, oh, glory to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, I sing glory to your name, oh Lord, glory to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly welcome. Let your glory fill this house. Let your glory fill this house. Glory fill this house. Oh Jesus, you are welcome. Let your glory fill this house. Let your love fill this house. Your love.
of the valley. Let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairies of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. Your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of darkness, haunted by the years of self-defeat. But yet I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes. Shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. So lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the
Beautiful. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Let your love shine on me. My God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Next we have Brother Leroy.
I do my best. It won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving here. It won't be long. We'll be going home. Count the years as months. Count the months as weeks, count the weeks as days. Any day now, we'll be going home. It won't be long. Soon we'll be It won't be long. We'll be going home. Count the years as months. Count the months as weeks. Count the weeks as days. And now we'll be going home. Lord, I'm ready to leave. Lord, I'm ready to leave. I got so many needs. Any day now, Lord, I ask you please. One more time. This time I want everybody to help me sing it. It won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving here. It won't be long. We'll be going home. Count the years as months. Count the months as weeks. Count the weeks as days. And now we'll be going home.
Won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving here. It won't be long. Oh, we'll be going. Thank you. Sister Samantha. Maya, sorry. sing praise. Thank you, Sister Rachel. My God. Glory to God. Getting ready for the offering this morning. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, oh, give me Jesus. Brother Mike.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for just allowing us to come into your presence one more time, Father. Lord, we ask you to bless my brothers and sisters. Lord, we are understanding, seeing the enemy is raging in every way, Father God. Lord, he's pressing us on every hand. But Lord, we determined, Lord, to stay with you, Lord Jesus. Father, as the widow woman and her son was down to her last, Father. But Lord, she was willing to present her last to the man of God. And Lord, we are standing here today, Lord, presenting our last to you, Father God. Lord, expecting you to move in our behalf, Father God. Lord, we know this word is true. We know, Lord, we can't fail. We can't go wrong. We are trusting in you, Lord. And Father, I just ask you to continue to just bless, Father God. Bless every heart that give. Every heart that had a desire to give, Lord, but wasn't able to, Lord. Bless them with seed next time, Lord. Father, we just thank you for them just being here, Lord, for so many is going through. And they have turned aside, but Lord, we pray for them also, Father, that you bring our brothers, bring our sisters back to the house of God, Lord. Lord, we don't want to see them out there like that, Father. Lord, when they hurt, we hurt, Father God. We are all one, Father God. And Lord, I ask you to just strengthen us, Father. And Lord, I understand, Lord, that, Lord, we just can't give up now, Lord. You done brought us too far. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor and praise, Father, right now for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
My God,
thank you.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, oh, in the morning. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, you can have all this. Give me Jesus. Something like that. Has a 2-year-old son, his wife, and he was battling cancer. And we found out on Friday that he went into the hospital Thursday night. And when he went in, the Lord decided to call him home. Amen. There on Friday morning, and he left behind his wife and his young son. And we just had the opportunity, me and Brother Simmons and Brother Jiren, Brother Jeremiah Palmer. We went to his house on last Saturday and had an opportunity to pray with him. And, you know, and his grandmother was there. We prayed, and after we prayed with him, and Brother Simmons read some scriptures, the young man said, if you don't mind, I got some oil in that bag there. If y'all would just take that oil and just anoint my house, I would appreciate it. So I just went through every room in his house, and I just began to anoint the house with the oil. And I put, you know, at the top of the door and on the side posts, you know, for, you know, the book of Exodus there. And, I said, you know, this is what we're doing. And, you know, the last thing that young man did before he left here is had his house anointed. Amen. For his wife and for his child. And we're praying that God, amen, will honor, you know, the prayer that was prayed. And the Lord called him home. But we want to remember, amen, his family in prayer, that God would just give them strength, amen, through this time.
Also, from Sister Tina, she has a prayer request for Fran. Says, please pray for a co-worker's mother who was admitted to the hospital early this morning with chest pains. Pray for God to get all the glory out of this situation, and my co-worker may see God come on the scene. So we want to pray for Fran, amen, her mother, amen, this morning. So let's just bow our heads, amen. And if you have a request in your heart that you didn't get a chance to submit, you just want to signify it at this time by the lifting of your hand towards heaven, amen. We'll also remember you in prayer. And while we're praying, also, I wanted to remember our precious brother Leroy. He has to go in for surgery this week. And we just want to remember him in prayer, that God would just be with him. Let's also remember Mother Tillman. And let's remember Brother Burrs. Amen. Also in prayer. Let's go before God's throne. Father, we thank you that we have the ability to present all of our needs to you. We know that we don't serve a God of stone, a God of wood. We serve the one true living God. He is involved in everything, amen, that happens in our life. And we know that you have complete control, complete authority. And God, we reverence that, and we thank you for that. And God, we always, no matter what our prayer is, Lord, in the midst of our prayer, we always say, not our will, but your will be done. And God, we have many needs that have come before you. The Adams family and the loss of their loved one, God, we thank you that you gave us an opportunity to go and minister to this young man and just share the truth. And God, is the act that he left, what an act to have his entire house anointed and the ministers praying, Lord, over his house. And we just pray, God, that you would honor the request and that you would touch his wife and touch his son. And that you, God, would just place the man in that young man's life, Lord, that would help him to be the man that he needs to be. And God, may you comfort and strengthen his wife. Surround her with ladies, Lord, that will be able to just speak into her life. And Lord, give her hope that she can still make it and she can persevere. And we just trust, God, that you would just minister to her needs even right now, God. And amen. We trust, Lord, that you'd also look upon Fran's mother who's admitted to the hospital because of chest pains. God, may you remove the pain. And God, may the doctors be dumbfounded with what you're doing. Not only that, but may the family members be dumbfounded. And may they know that you are a living God. Amen. That you hear and you, amen, you answer prayer. So we ask, God, that you would move on the scene, amen, for this family this morning. And Father, we also just submit every request that was signified in this place today by the lifting of their hands. Lord, remember every request, and may you grant it according to our faith. God, we're careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, for you alone deserve it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a blessing with your name on it. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God to you. Nothing else can compare to. It's a blessing with your name on it. Yes, it is. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God to you. Nothing else can compare to. It's a blessing with your name on it. It's a blessing. Yes, it is. It's a blessing with your name on it. It's a blessing, yes it is. It's a blessing. It's got your name on it. Oh, I believe, say, I believe, I believe. Yes, I believe, I believe. Oh, I believe the word of God. I believe. I believe, yeah, yeah,
receive, I receive, say. Oh, I receive. God, I receive today. Oh, the word of God, I receive. Yeah, I receive, say. Oh, I receive the word of God. I believe the word of God. Say, I believe the word of God. I receive the word of God. Say, I receive the word of God. I believe the word of God. Say, I believe the word of God. I believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We believe the word of God, and we receive in advance every promise that you have made. We thank you for touching Brother Burrs in his body. We thank you for touching Mother Tillman in her body. We thank you for going before Brother Leroy, before his surgery. Thank you for touching him in his body. We believe, we receive. In the name of Jesus, we declare it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just give the Lord another hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. We will turn in our Bibles. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Appreciate your service on today. Amen. Thank God for all the specials that went forth. Certainly appreciate that. Just to remind you, tonight we'll be at communion. They may have communion here tonight at 5:30, so keep that in mind. Also this week we'll be at Pinnacle Palms on Thursday night at 6:30. Amen. So keep us in prayer regarding that. And all those that want to be a part of the South Florida Choir, there will be another rehearsal tomorrow night at 7:30 at Brother West Coast Church. Amen. Those that want to be part of that particular choir for the meetings, amen, upcoming July, next month, I should say. Tomorrow night, 7:30, there'll be another rehearsal. Amen. Let's just turn. I'm going to read a very familiar scripture out of the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. And everyone standing that can stand as we read God's word on today. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. God is good. Amen. Just thank him for all that he's doing. And want to appreciate everybody that was able to come out yesterday to support our students who graduated, and amen, the others that received various awards. Thank God for SAT Virtual Resource Center. Amen. 10 years of operation. Amen. 10 years of operation. We're just very grateful for all that God has done. Amen. And just looking forward to all that he has planned for us. So here, John 3 and verse 16. Amen. It reads as follows. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. God, we thank you for the ability to read the word. But may the Holy Spirit now come and just bring clarity on what it is that we have read today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. We were returning, amen, to a topic, amen, that we started on just before Easter. And I knew this year that I, all the plans that we had in place, that I wouldn't be able to preach the Easter service, but I was trying to just kind of lay some things out.
And really, Easter is not just about that one day of the year. Amen. Easter happens every day. All right. You know, every day that we look at another sunrise, that sun going down at night and then coming back up, you know, the next morning, it what that does, praise the Lord. Amen. What that does is kind of tell us, amen, that a resurrection has occurred. Amen. Every time you see the sun rise, it speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I mean, God has a way of just speaking things in nature to us if we would just be sensitive enough to just recognize it. So, you know, we started on this subject of the greatest story ever told. Amen. The greatest story ever told. And we want to continue down that path. Amen. Today, if we can. So I looked up the definition of story. Amen. And I got many definitions. One of them was an account of imaginary or real people and events told for entertainment. Amen. An account of imaginary or real people and events told for entertainment. And also, you know, I found another definition which I'm really working more with, amen, an account of past events and someone's life or in the evolution of something. I think that's very important. It's an account, a story is an account of past events and someone's life or in the evolution of something. Amen. And when we're talking about this greatest story ever told, in all honesty, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Amen. Because, I mean, really everything points to him. Amen. Everything is really centered around him. Amen. Amen. Our calendar is centered around him, right? Amen. When you got AD and BC and all of that, you know, AD after death, it's after the death of Christ, right? We look at the history of mankind on the earth, and it seems like every 2,000 years, something has happened that's been centered around God. You know, the first 2,000 years, amen, Noah's flood, God was so displeased with the sin that was on the earth that God had to wipe mankind out. And he only found one righteous man in his family that he wanted to spare along with some animals. You know, the second 2,000 years, Jesus Christ himself came to this earth and died, amen, in the flesh for our sins. And now this next 2,000 years since his death, we're looking for the second coming of the Lord. Now, I know because it seems like we've actually gone a little bit beyond that 2,000 years that some people get a little disheartened and they might feel like, well, Jesus is never going to come. Look, I'm going to tell you this. We're closer today than we ever have been to the second coming of the Lord. And if we live to see tomorrow, we're going to be closer tomorrow than we ever have been to, amen, to experience the second coming of the Lord. My advice to you is live ready. Amen. Sleep ready. Amen. Walk ready. Huh? Talk ready. And whatever you do, just be ready for his second coming. Praise the Lord. So, you know, when we talk about this greatest story ever told, we're talking about the Lord Jesus. When we're talking about an account of past events, amen, in someone's life or in the evolution of something, I want to try to show you that various things that happened in Scripture, amen, was pointing to the Lord Jesus. And even today, things that are happening in our world today is pointing to the return of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's the greatest story that could ever be told. Now, Romans 15:4 tells us this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Let me read that again. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Let me just work with that just for a few minutes. I don't know what everybody might be going through. And just to be, you know, not to be too direct, not to offend you in any way, it really doesn't matter what you're going through. Right? You know, because everything that you're going through is designed by Almighty God to bring you closer to him.
Amen. And you know, and whatever it takes. It used to be a song that they would sing. Whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'm asking of you, Lord. Yeah. Right? Some of, I mean, people used to write songs because they was not afraid to go through their trials. Huh? Many of us just want to go to the trial, but God didn't ask you to go to the trial. He asked you to go through the trial. And as you go through the trial, it's a great possibility that you're going to meet the fourth man. Huh? It's a great possibility that you're going to see a great miracle on God on your behalf that God will do for you if you're willing to go through it. Don't just go to it, but go through it. Jesus went through Calvary. And by him going through Calvary, all of us have been redeemed. Thank God for that story. All right, let's look at this. Let's look at this. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we might be able to find somebody else that went through something in days gone by in the scripture. And we once we read their story and see how God brought them out, then it anoints our faith to believe that that same God lives today, right? Amen. That same God lives today. I mean, it's, you know, to me, I would have to believe that he lives. I have to believe that. I have to believe that he's so concerned about me making it that he guarded this precious book called the Bible. He guarded it for years to make sure it could get into my hands. Now, there's been many of books, many of scrolls that's been lost, but this has always been around. Right. Even Jesus, when he was preaching in the temple, he was preaching from the same Bible. Right. Amen. As far as the Old Testament was concerned, he was preaching from that same Bible. That's why, you know, he can say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And amen. And has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives and, you know, and bind up the brokenhearted and all these things. Set at liberty those that are bruised. Jesus could take that because he was referring back to what was already written in the scripture. Amen. When Jesus had his temptations in the desert, and when he could tell Satan, it is written. Now, he wasn't just saying something just to be saying something, but he could actually go back to the book of Deuteronomy and show where it was written. Amen. Hallelujah. He was using the same word that, amen, that we use today. And if Jesus could defeat the devil with the word of God, then we can do the same thing in our situations and our circumstances. We can take every promise that God gave us and we can put the devil on the run. Amen. Anybody believe that? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, as we look at this, amen, again, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, And that's a key word, because we live in the microwave age, right? And everything got to be done just like that. Pop it in for 30 seconds, it's done, it come out hot as I don't know what, and you ready to eat, right? But, you know, and we want our trials to be the same way. Now, God, I'm willing to go through some things, but I need this thing to be over just like that. That's not the way God works. Right. I mean, God wants you to kind of endure some things, and through enduring, what he's doing is developing your character. You don't understand. If God always made a way for you as soon as you pray, you never have any character. Lord, I prayed about it. Amen. You want it to be done. Now, you're going to have to pray about it, leave it in God's hands, and then allow him to bring it to pass in his own due time. Amen. And in the midst of your waiting, you got to keep praising. Oh, hallelujah, church. That's just the way this works. In the midst of your waiting, you got to keep praising. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I mean, you know, as a Christian, I've learned a long time ago. That's why, you know, when I heard them sing that song, I Don't Mind Waiting on the Lord, man, that spoke to me. Right. I mean, you know, I hear words like that. Like, man, if you ever been through something, you know what it means to wait on the Lord. Oh, yes. And you also know what it means to know that he's never late. He's always on time. Always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Yes. All right. You know, we look at various characters in the scripture. And I brought this out the last time I ministered. Esther was one of those characters where, you know, her life was portraying, you know, something about the Lord Jesus, amen, and everything that she went through, and
You know, you look at her losing her parents and, you know, being raised by an uncle and, you know, all of that. That speaks to anybody that might have lost their parents, right? And, you know, maybe life has dealt you some blows. But it showed how, you know, God could take something that looked hopeless and just make something beautiful out of it, right? I mean, this young lady lost her parents, amen, and probably, you know, feeling like she's nobody. But God took her and made her somebody, made her the queen, amen, of the nation during that time. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing to look at her story, and then you can see, you can get hope and say, Lord, if you can do that for Esther, you can do something for me. Amen. We looked at the story of Ruth, and amen, Ruth making a decision to go and serve the God of her mother-in-law and live amongst the people of her mother-in-law. Amen. It shows the decisions that we have to make as believers sometimes. And when we just really think about Ruth, Ruth did this. She was by herself. Come on now. This was not a group decision. Amen. This was not, you know, Ruth and you know, Ruth in the posse, right? This was Ruth by herself. And sometimes God will put you in a place where you're going to have to make some individual decisions. Come on, your brother ain't going to come with you. Your sister ain't going to come with you. Amen. Amen. Your neighbor may not come with you, but you got to have a determination, just like Orpah was there with Ruth, and that was her sister-in-law. And Orpah said, look, now, I was going to go because I thought it was the right thing for me to do. But really, in my heart, I never wanted to leave the land of Moab. I didn't want to go with you, Naomi. I wanted to stay here. And as soon as Naomi gave her a way out, Orpah took it. Huh? But Ruth said, no, your God going to be my God. Your people going to be my people. Where you die, I'm going to die. Where you worship, I'm going to worship. I'm going to make this decision by myself. Orpah, bye-bye. But I'm going with Ruth. I'm going with Naomi. Ruth said, I'm going with Naomi. See, so sometimes in life, you're going to have to make some hard decisions like that. Amen. But God will bless your hard decisions. Amen. Amen. You'll make some hard, I mean, it's tough sometimes. You got to leave some people behind. Because the people that you don't leave behind, they will drag you down. If they're not going where you're going, you better leave them behind. All right now. Come on now. I also told you, amen, about the story of the woman in 2 Kings chapter 8. And it's just so beautiful how, you know, her story of losing her land and you know, because of famine that come into the land. But while she decided, the prophet had told her, now you need to get away from here for 7 years. Amen. It's going to be a famine. You need to go ahead and leave and go somewhere else and try to get yourself some food and try to sustain. It's good to have some inside information. Right, because you can kind of prepare yourself. You can handle the circumstance when you got inside information. Now I'm gonna tell you something. Some of us get inside information, but we don't do nothing with what we get. Huh? Amen. We got to do something with the information that we get. And here, you know, that woman there with her son and she decides, I'm going to do something with this information. I'm going to go. I'm going to leave the land for seven years because of the famine, but I'm going to come back. And when she decided to come back, the very day that she decided to come back, the prophet, amen, the prophet's servant was standing there before the king. And the king said, would you please begin to tell us some stories of the prophet Elisha. Could you tell us a little bit about him? What are some of the things that, amen, that happened in his life? Tell us about the miracles, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I enjoy listening to positive testimonies. Amen. I enjoy listening to things about what God has already done. Amen. I might be going through a situation just like they were going through a famine at that time. But if I can hear some things of what God has already done, then my faith might get anointed and I start believing that he can do it right now. Amen. That servant was standing there and said, you know, oh, king, you know, I remember one time being with the prophet and I could see him just working the story up. I remember one time we went down to this person's house and, you know, this mother had a child and, amen, and I mean, the child was dead. And I remember the prophet going in and he raised that child back to life. And I get the king, probably eyes just getting big, like, oh, what happened? You say, what? The child raised it. Oh, I ain't never heard of nothing like that. You can just imagine how anointed that story was. Right. And at the time that, amen, the story was being shared,
Amen. This lady was sitting in the audience on her way back to the king to ask for her land back. And when she heard her story being shared, come on somebody. Amen. When she heard her story being shared, I don't think she could just sit in her seat. Amen. I think something just began to move on the inside. I've been away for 7 years, but amen, on the first day that I get back, they begin to share my story. And as the king was underneath that anointing, she made her request. She moved in on her story. And I say it's good to see yourself in the story. You got to be able to see yourself in the story. Hallelujah. In this story of Jesus, you got to be able to see yourself. Because sometimes in your life, your story going to intersect with his story. And when your story intersects with his story, your story is over and the new story begins. Your story is history. Hallelujah. That lady stepped in at the right time when they were telling her story. Oh, praise the Lord. There's so many examples in scriptures, in the scriptures that we can look at of various stories, but each story is telling something, amen, of a greater story. Hallelujah. You know, and I've just kind of injected this the last time. I'm just kind of bringing you up, amen, from where we were. But, you know, that lady was, amen, the servant Gehazi, he was, by him just kind of sharing the stories of the prophet, it brought an anointing into the room. Oh, hallelujah. I like that, church. By him just sharing the stories of the prophet, it just began to bring a certain anointing into the room. And you know, sometimes people don't understand why, you know, why Brother Jack say Brother Branham said. Why Brother Jack say the prophet said. Because as I share stories of a prophet for this day, and God still have prophets. Amen. God didn't start. God had prophets in the Old Testament. He also had prophets in the New Testament. God still has prophets. There were promises for prophets. Right? And what we got to do is line ourselves up to the scripture, and then we'll see what, you know, what God is doing in this hour. But, you know, when I'm starting to share the stories of God's prophet that he sent in this day, I'm trying to anoint your faith. I don't care what you're going through. Cancer is not too big for God. Cancer is not impossible for God. If we can just get your faith anointed by hearing the story. Look at this. I'll share with you all about the, you know, the mother possum and little fishy, I give you life. You know, those are various stories that happened in Brother Branham's ministry. Share with you about Aunt Jemima down in Tennessee that believed God for her son to be healed, and how the plane stopped and God caused the prophet to get off the plane and walk right down to her house and pray for her boy. Amen. What a wonderful story when we hear it. Amen. I think about, you know, the other story, and, you know, and let me just inject, because we, you know, we're living in a time where there's many a people that's changing their story. If I can put it that way, many people changing their story. They don't believe what they used to believe. Well, if you can't believe what you used to believe, then you probably didn't believe it in the first place. All right? Amen. I'm sorry. I think about various things that happened in the ministry of Brother Branham. And one of the stories that I want to tell you about is, you know, the six dreams and a vision that told him to go west. Right? And serves as just a time. He preached that message in 1962, and these six dreams that God gave to six different people, and then he gave Brother Branham a vision, and it told him to go west. And as he went out west, amen, while out there hunting, seven angels came down from eternity, and it formed a cloud. And when people see the cloud, some are doubting whether the cloud was reality or not, right? They don't believe it was seven angels. Science took a picture of it. And now people are trying to say it was a plane that was that high that created that. No plane could get up there, right? But we rather take, amen, a scientific explanation rather than take what the prophet said. Right? I mean, I'm going to take what the prophet said. I think he has a better clue as to what happened there. But seven angels from eternity came down and caught the prophet up. And as they caught him up, they began to tell him, now go back east and preach the revelation of the seven seals. Now, when Brother Branham told that story, I tell you, I used to be afraid of the book of Revelation. But when I realized that God can reveal the book, amen, of Revelation to a man with a seventh grade education, I start believing that story. Right? And I know things that churches have been stumbling over for years, we have the revelation of now because we believe the story. Listen to this. You know, I was thinking when the angel visited him as a little boy and told him, says, don't drink or smoke. He says, don't do anything to defile your body because I have a work for you to do when you get older. He told him that your message will forerun the second coming of the Lord. He told him these things, and you know, and to some people that may just sound like a story, right? Like, man, that's just something that somebody done made up. You know, but when you can look back in the scripture and you can see that these same things happen in the scripture in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 15 and Judges, chapter 13 and verse 3, John the Baptist and Samson were also told they were required not to drink and strong drink. They were required to stay away from these things as well. So when God would speak the same thing to his prophet today, I have no problem believing that story. Oh, my God. I know you can't believe every story, but I got no problem with believing that story. I got no problem with believing the seven angels caught him up and brought to him the revelation of the seven seals. I got no problem with that story. I believe the story. But I know that story is just telling a greater story. Because when you look at scripture, amen, all this is to reveal more of Jesus Christ. God did all of that so that we can understand who Christ was and what he was doing in our day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Amen. Amen. He also talked about the mother in Mexico with the dead baby. Amen. I believe that story. He talked about different people being healed of blindness. I believe their story. Hallelujah. And I tell you, if you can never get your faith anointed to believe the story, then God can do great things in your situation. All right, let me just look at something here. Amen. Remember, this is the evolution, the account of past events in someone's life or in the evolution of something. Let's go back to Genesis 22 and let's read a little bit of Abraham's story. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God, my God. And like I said, you can't believe every story. You can't. I realize that. I realize that. Oh, glory to God. Actually, you know what? Before we read Genesis 22, let me just share one story that happened in the scripture that you just can't believe. This is out of Matthew 28. Let's just read there first, and then I go back to Genesis 22. You can't believe everybody's story. I realize that. I don't believe everybody's story. If somebody walked in here saying different things, like, you know, there's different people trying to point us to a different prophet. No, I don't believe that story. Amen. I don't. I believe God used Brother Branham, and that's who he called as his prophet for this end time. And now there's people coming up with all kind of names, people I ain't never heard of. You know, but what I base it on is not just because of the supernatural, but the things that lined up scripturally, right? You have to know your Bible. You have to read your Bible, right? I mean, if you can't catch it according to the scripture, you're going to miss the whole thing. When Jesus walked in on his story with the brothers on the road to Emmaus, he began to expound to them scriptures, not feelings, scriptures, right? And as they began to see it in the scripture, they, oh, man, this is the truth. See, so, you know, we got to be able to see things according to scripture. All right. Look at this. Matthew 28, verse 11. You can't believe every story. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Says, now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. Now, this was after the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. And this is, you know, we're hearing a different story or an account of the story after he arose from the dead. Look at this. When they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. So basically what's happening is that they're making up a story. Right. And they want them to just go tell. This is the story that we want you to tell. Tell everybody that his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this and notice now, the reason now these guys are witnesses. Right. They know. Hey, man, look, man, we was watching this this tomb here that y'all put us on. And some things happened here at this tomb that I ain't never seen happen at a tomb before. Right. I mean, we know that something happened here, but as they're sharing this with the elders and with the leaders take great sums of money. Now, I just have to inject this. There are a lot of people changing their story because they have been influenced by great sums of money. Hallelujah. Listen, there's people that'll turn Jesus down right now. If somebody gave them enough money. They'll deny Christ if somebody gave them enough money to deny Christ. Amen. Amen. Look, it says, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Amen. And so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And I just need to tell you that you can't believe everybody's story. Somebody been paid to tell you that lie. Woo! You can't go to everybody's church because some people are being paid to preach to you a lie. Woo! Hallelujah! You can't believe everybody's story. Amen. But you better, I mean, you can believe the story about Jesus Christ. He died and he rose again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for that story. That's the greatest story that could ever be told. All right, let's go on. I want to go back here to Genesis 22. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Look at this now. And remember, this story is an account of past events in someone's life or in the evolution of something. Hallelujah. Genesis 22 and verse 6. This is a story of Abraham. And we know that in his story that Abraham and his wife had been trying for years to have a child and could not have a child. But we also know that God gave him a promise and said, look, you know, you're going to have a child by Sarah, your wife. Now, they tried to help God out by using the handmaid and everything else like that. You know, Hagar came on the scene, but God was not promising a child through Hagar. God was promising a child through Sarah. But they tried to help the story out. You know, actually, they just brought more confusion to the story. Right. By trying to help God out. But later on, we see that God went down and visited Abraham. And he says, you know, and when he called Abraham's name and called Sarah's name and knew that their names had just been changed from Abram, amen, to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. You know, I mean, once their names were changed and he'd come and reveal their names like that, they knew that there was something else about this man that was sitting at their tent that morning. So, you know, here now Sarah's already conceived and she's given birth to Isaac. Isaac is raised up as a young man. And you can imagine her waiting for this child and how much he means to her. But now Abraham say, look, I got to take Isaac away. We're going on a trip. Now, he didn't tell Sarah exactly what he was getting ready to do. And you can imagine probably if he would have told Sarah, there would have been some trouble at the house. Right. But he just said, we're going on a trip. Right. And as they're leaving away, amen. Abraham has been given instruction by Almighty God himself to go and sacrifice his son. Take your only son, amen, the one that I promised you. Now I want you to go kill that boy and sacrifice him to me. That's the story that we're looking at right here. It seems like, you know, God is telling him to do something that just really don't make no sense. And I got to put it that way because God might require you to do some things that don't seem to make no sense. But if you just trust God, He will make it turn out just right. Watch this. Hallelujah. Genesis 22:6 says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. I just love this. Remember our definition. An account of past events in someone's life or in the evolution of something. That's what a story means. It's an account of past events in someone's life or in the evolution of something. If we can just get ourselves on the scene this morning, just watch Abraham as he's walking up the mountain and he's taking this wood. You know, this is an account of a past event, but it's evolving into something else if we can just take our time and look at it. Look at this. It says, and Abraham took the wood. Actually, let me skip back to verse 5 on that. I want you to see something he promised that Abraham said here. Oh, my God, my God. He says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, he's speaking by prophecy that, you know what, if God take my boy, God gonna raise this boy up again. Right? Abraham is speaking by prophecy as to what's going to occur with his son, his promised son, Isaac. If God take this boy, then God gonna raise him up again, because I and the lad, amen, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Look, verse 6 says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now this wood that Isaac is carrying up the mountain, amen, is a type of the wood, the cross that Jesus Christ would carry to Calvary. Amen. This is the evolution of something. Amen. This is an account of past events, but it's evolving into a greater story. Abraham's story and Isaac's story is pointing to the greatest story that has ever been told. Oh, hallelujah. I like this, church. And look at this. He says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father. And he said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And if I could just kind of walk with this, you can see, amen, a father got confidence that God gonna make a way. Amen. But a son kind of struggling with, you know, look, is this really the only plan that God got? Amen. Daddy, we're not talking about your life, but we're talking about my life. Daddy, is this the only plan that God got? And then it takes me to the story of Jesus Christ going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. And he began to pray to the Father, say, Lord, is there any other way? If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Lord, let this cup pass. If it's possible, it's got to be another plan. But a father is assured because he knows the end of the story. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We can see the type. It's an account of past events, but it's evolving to something greater. Look at this. Oh, if I could just tell you, church, whatever you're going through right now, whatever you have gone through in your life, yeah, it's an account of some current events. It's an account of past events, but it's evolving to something much greater. Right. Yeah. Ooh, Jesus. Look at this. Verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Did Abraham know what God was going to do? Had no idea. Had no idea. But he kept assuring his son that by faith God going to do something. And when God did provide himself a lamb. Amen. That lamb was Jesus Christ. Because we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have eternal life. God provided a lamb. Look at this. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 9 says, and it came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. The promised son was now laying on the altar of wood. Jesus Christ was the promised son that laid on the altar of wood at Calvary's cross. This is the evolution. This is their counter past events evolving to something so much greater. Oh, hallelujah, church. Look at it. And now I have to just put myself in Abraham's place. See, when you're going through the trial, you can't see what God is doing. You got no idea what God is doing. But you got to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, hallelujah, church. Right? I mean, we got to get strength through what Abraham went through. If Abraham, and he was the father of faith, if Abraham could go through it, then we can go through it. God, I don't understand, you know, and let me just put it this way. You will never understand how God works. Never. You know why? Because he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. You can never figure out God, but you can just accept what God is doing by faith. Oh, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got every situation in his hands. He knows exactly what he's doing. Thank God for the story. And if you just would go through, God gonna give you a story. Amen. Thank God for the story. I enjoy hearing other people's story, but I also enjoy telling my story. All right. And I'm gonna tell you, can't nobody tell my story like I can. Amen. Amen, amen, church. When God bring you through something, you can't help but tell your story. This is my story. Like I said before, I'm sticking to it. I ain't going to let nobody change my story. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. Where am I? Verse 9 again says, and they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now that boy was in a position, he was strong enough where he could have wrestled his father and he could have turned the whole situation. Dad, you ain't gonna kill me. I'll take you out before you take me out. But Isaac willingly laid himself there. You understand? Isaac willingly went through that trial. Can I ask you a question? Are you willing to go through? Are you willing to embrace whatever God got for you? Huh? Are you willing just to accept it? Lord, I don't know. I don't understand why I'm here, but I'm willing to trust that you got a purpose for me being here. Listen, he says, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord, he was so convinced to do what he was going to do what God asked him to do, right? And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, had to call his name twice. To make sure that he recognized the voice of God. Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. You can just imagine this, the knife is in his hand. He's ready to come down on his son. Now, you know, what is this all about? Why would God tell Abraham to do it? Because God won't have you go through anything more, amen, than he's willing to go through himself. Amen. God, knowing that he was going to send his only son to die on a cross, allowed this to be typed out in the life of Abraham and Isaac. Amen. What God was going to do with Jesus, amen, was being typed out right here in the life of Abraham and Isaac. The account of past events that was evolving to something much greater. Look at it. Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Now I want you to notice a ram. It's a male lamb. Right? God don't make no mistakes in what he's doing. God had a ram caught in the bush because the ram typed the Lord Jesus Christ being a male that would die for our sins. Woo! Church, I tell you. God, I mean, nothing happened by chance. Nothing happened by accident. God is in complete control. Oh, and I believe God still got some rams in the bush. Whatever you have, just be faithful to God. Just go through with joy. And that's another revelation there. You can't go through with a sad countenance. right? You can't come before the presence of the king with a sad countenance. You got to always come before the presence of the king with joy. Amen. You can't even let people see that you're going through. Amen. You can't let them see it. Right. Amen. You got to stand there with a countenance that says everything is all right. Amen. I mean, you might be going through I don't know what, but you got to somehow pull yourself together. And you got to stand there with joy. It's all right.
That's right.
That's it.
That lady lost her son, and she told him, "Say now, saddle me an animal. I'm going to see the prophet." Everything was wrong in her life. Her world was upside down. She said, "I'm going to see the prophet. I just get me an animal and don't slack the ride." For me, just make sure you get me into the presence of the prophet. She come running up to the prophet, and the prophet say, "Is everything okay?" She say, "All is well." All right. See, she could have said, "Prophet, you promised me this son, and now my son dead, and all these other." No, she didn't say nothing. All is well. See, her attitude was right. Her approach was right. And then when she began to explain what was really going on in her life, because she had the right attitude, God was able to give her a miracle, raise her son right back up. Keep the right attitude in whatever it is that you're going through.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We all need that.
Right.
All right. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we go through and that frown come up on our face. People don't even want to approach us. They don't even want to say anything to you. They're afraid to say something to you. You might have emotional leakage. I'm going to just break it down for you. Y'all know what that is? Emotional leakage is when you're at work, right, and you're talking on the phone, maybe one of your relatives. Y'all just had an argument before y'all left to go to work, and that argument ain't finished yet. So y'all pick up the phone, and y'all call, and y'all talking on the phone, and it's just still going back and forth. You know, just, I mean, it's just tit for tat. They just going off on one another. And then all of a sudden, you get a phone call, right, from somebody else on your job, and when you get that phone call, you say, "What you want?" Well, when you do that, you just leaked from one conversation into the next conversation. This person ain't done nothing to you, but you done bit their head off. You can't do it. You got to get control over yourself. And some of us do that. We're experts at it. Oh my God! You fussing and fighting in the house? Pastor call. God bless you, Pastor. You're an expert, right? You know exactly how to do that. But see, the thing of it is, when you're coming into the house of God, you got to be able to put that stuff behind you. Get it fixed later on. But don't let your problems, amen, outweigh your praises. Huh? Don't allow that to happen. I'm going to give more praise in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of my going through. I'm going to give more praise. I'm not going to allow what I'm going through to leak over into my worship. You know why? He is still worthy. Even though this thing ain't worked out yet, he is still worthy. And I know he's going to work it out. So I'm going to praise him in advance for it already being done. We were just preaching on Friday night, and we preached the message, find it the way that you believed it. You could have left your house with a problem this morning, but if you come to church with the right attitude today, amen, you can find it the way that you want it to be if you have the right attitude in church today. Oh. Do you want God to change something at home? Start praising him for changing something at home. Start confessing that by the time I get back home, that thing gonna change. That's the way you gotta come to church. Woo! Come on, somebody. Man, I'll be confessing. This is the last day I'm sitting here without my family. I'm expecting them every one. God, I thank you. Sister Brown would come to church and she'd just touch every seat, just claim the whole row. God, I thank you for every one of my kids being here, my grandkids. Claim those seats.
Amen.
This is for my child. This is for my son. This is for my daughter. This is for my wife. This is for my husband. You got to claim those things.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, church.
before it even happens. Amen. It's a story being told. Everything you're going through is just for a story to be told. Somebody going to be encouraged by your story. Amen. 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 Why make everybody else rich by when you buy their autobiographies? Why make them rich? Why not sell your autobiography and let people read about your story?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Huh? I want to read about so-and-so. Now let them read about you.
Amen.
You got something to share?
Amen.
Amen. Tell them what God has done for you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Where am I? Let me finish this up. Amen. Verse 13, and it says this: Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. I thank God that there was an offering made instead of me, because I should have died for what I did. But there was another offering made in my place. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt that I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. See, in Jesus Christ, the greatest story that could ever be told is a story about the Lord Jesus and what he did for you at Calvary. Verse 14 says this: Abraham called the name of that place. And when God brings you through, sometimes it's good to identify. Put it in your journal. Yeah, I mean, these names meant something. Right. And when Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Now, when he just said Jehovah Jireh, that meant God, my provider. Right. This wasn't he just wasn't making up. But that meant God, my provider. Right. Amen. And when we look back and see what Abraham went through, and we can see God provided for Abraham, then it gives us courage. It gives us faith. That whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. It gives us hope that God can do the same thing for us. God can provide.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. I think of the other story, amen, of another character in the scripture, Joseph. And I just want to read, amen, something out of the children of Israel. Let me read a quote from there. Praise the Lord. And we'll try to bring this home here in a little bit. Thank you, Lord. But what Joseph was going through, amen, down in Egypt, it was all representing, amen, his life was representing and typing out the Lord Jesus Christ. From what he went through in his household with his family, sometimes in the greatest struggles, those struggles that we have with our own family, right? But Joseph went through some struggles with his own brothers. Amen. It was some rough stuff that they had to go through, right? But God worked it all out in the end. Amen. What God was doing was forming character in Joseph. God also was forming character in Joseph's brothers.
Amen. Right.
Praise the Lord. Not only did Joseph change, but them brothers changed.
Amen.
After they did what they did.
Amen.
Everybody need to change.
Yes.
God is working on both sides.
Amen.
Why God working on you? Trust me. He working on your spouse.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Why he working on the parents? He working on the kids.
Amen.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
Right, God is working in both areas, but sometimes we can't see it because we're not there to see it. But when we get it all back together, you're going to see God. God did what? Yeah, God was working in all areas all the time. He got this thing under control. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Jesus. Look at it here, the children of Israel. Notice they're going down in there. How perfect it was with the scriptures. How Joseph, the younger son, rejected of his brethren. Christ rejected of his brethren. He wore a coat of seven colors. This is Joseph. Boy, they were so jealous. So that's that rainbow coat that Joseph had. It says he wore a coat of seven colors. Joseph, and the seven colors, of course, represented seven colors in the rainbow, which was a covenant. And God always has his covenant people. And then this one young Joseph was killed supposedly by his brethren, and his coat was to be returned to his father. And I want you to see another thing, that he was thrown into a ditch and was supposedly to be dead. But he was taken up from the ditch and was taken into the greatest commercial city of the world and was made a right-hand man that no man could enter into the gates or come into the courts without first coming through Joseph, a perfect type of Christ. Look at it. They thought they had killed him and thrown him into the grave, but God raised him up. And today he sits at the right hand of his majesty, and no man can come to God except he come through Christ. Is that right? Amen. What happened in Joseph's life was a perfect type to what was going to happen in the Lord Jesus Christ's life when he came to earth. Listen, it says, notice in the butcher and the baker, one was refused and one rejected. Amen. And one rejected, like the two thieves at the cross, a perfect type. And then at the death of Joseph, he left the sign to the Egyptians that his bones would be taken out when they were out. And that, as Brother Branham was just saying there, when you look back at that butcher and that baker, one, you know, Joseph interpreted the dreams of both of them. One was going to be restored back to his position, amen, as the butler, but the baker was going to die. Well, same thing happened on the cross. One thief said, you know, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And that one was spared, but the other one died, right? He says, this day you'll see me in paradise. A perfect type, church. Perfect type. Listen to this. Amen. It says, and then at the death of Joseph, he left the sign to the Egyptians that his bones would be taken out when they went out. Many of the Egyptians passed them by, or the Israelites rather, down in Egypt, and see those bones. They knew someday, before those bones completely deteriorated, they would move forward and they would move with them. Christ, not as I believe in his bones, but he left an empty tomb that we who are Christians today, someone said, Brother Branham, the only thing that you got to know that you're a Christian is some Hebrew writing. I said, I got more than that to know that I'm a Christian. Sure have. You have too. If you've been born again, notice, but we have an empty tomb. It's the tomb. Amen. And what happened there at that tomb? Listen, somebody lied about what happened at that tomb. Somebody lied and said that, amen, his disciples came in and stole his body. But I don't believe that story. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again just for my sins. Amen. And had he not gone to that cross, then he would not have been able to bridge the gap, amen, to bring man back into fellowship with God. I thank God for what Jesus did. And even though I wasn't there 2,000 years ago, I still believe the story. It's the greatest story that could ever be told. Hallelujah. You believe that, church? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. One more thought here that I want to bring to you. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Why are we not a denomination? From that message, why are we not a denomination? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Maybe I'll read two more. Why are we not a denomination? Look at this. He said, you talk about singing the redemption story. Why, brother, when Jesus comes, this church will stand yonder on the rims of this earth and sing stories of redemption. Now, that's a future story, right? That's a future story, that the church will stand yonder on the rims of this earth and sing stories of redemption. I don't know about you, but I see myself in that story. Yeah. Praise God. I'm living right now so I can be a part of that story. Right? Amen. A church will stand yonder on the rims of this earth and sing stories of redemption, when angels will bow their head, not knowing what we're talking about. Why? They never was lost. They don't know what we've went through. We know what it means to be lost and be found. Can we scream his praises? He's not a savior to them. They never needed any saving. He wasn't a healer to them. No, glory. Isn't life to them? Certainly not. They never was dead in sin and trespasses. We were then made alive. There we are. What will we say with our crowns off? Your reverend so-and-so? Oh, no. All glory to him. That's it. There you are. Then we'll tell the story. How we overcome, we'll understand it better by and by. I can't wait to be a part of that story. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This last one out of the evidence of the resurrection. I want to tell you the story of Christ, his birth, his life, his burial, his resurrection. It's not fiction. It's not imaginary, but it's real. And it's the greatest story that could ever be told. Oh, my God, my God. Oh, my God, my God. Y'all bear with me. I got something, Lord Jesus. So much I just want to share with you. Y'all just bear with me a little bit more. The evidence of the resurrection says this. Oh, I just feel more like worshiping. My heart just filled up. What an assurance Jesus has raised from the dead. It's not a story like Santa Claus. If I'm saying something wrong before your children, you forgive me. I don't mean to, but I believe in telling children the truth. I want to know the truth. When they told me about Jesus, if he hasn't raised from the dead, then it's a mystic story. If he isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever, then it's a mystic story. Then he might be dead if he doesn't prove himself to be a risen God. But I'm so glad to know that he raised from the dead and he lives now. He's here. These sacred sands that I talked of this morning, no one can ever move that from your heart. May God open your eyes tonight, pilgrim, and let you know that his son has raised from the dead and is here to manifest himself. Believe the story. Jesus lives. Amen. Let me tell you another little story. There was a woman one time, a man in history, and this preacher was preaching about her. She lived in Oklahoma. Her name was Lady Maccabee. And they was telling this lady's story, and this preacher was preaching, and he said, man, this lady was rough, man. Rough woman. Really, really, really bad woman. You know, they were saying that, you know, she got arrested because, you know, back in those days, ladies didn't smoke and all of that, but this lady was so bad, she was smoking a cigar and driving a man horses and, you know, I mean, and she would just drive them horses and, I mean, at speeds that, you know, the law was against what she was doing. She'd go through the streets with a stagecoach and man, breaking the speed limits, murdering people, living a filthy life. And, you know, that lady was just, man, they couldn't believe a lady could be this low down. So when they finally captured Lady Maccabee, amen, they captured her. And when they finally captured her, none of the men wanted to touch her. They say, man, this lady too filthy to touch. And if we touch her, what she got might rub off on us. So they're afraid to touch this lady. And they captured her. And all they want to do is just pretty much tar and feather her, right? They want to burn this lady, right? Just get rid of her. I mean, this life ain't even worth living. If I touch her, I'm going to get polluted. Ain't no way I want to touch a lady like that. Right, I mean, the preacher was just telling the story about this woman, Lady Maccabee, and then he asked a question to, you know, the audience, and there were some other ministers there from other different churches, and he asked a question, and he says, "Gentlemen of the religions of this world, has your religion got anything that would clean the hands of Lady Maccabee? Does your religion have anything that could clean the hands of this lady? Remember how dirty and how filthy this lady is, but does your religion have anything to help Lady Maccabee?" So they looked around and nobody said anything. So the preacher just jumped up in the air and he kicked his heels together. And he said, and they'd start clapping his hands. He said, the blood of Jesus won't just clean her hands. Amen. But the blood of Jesus will clean her heart. Amen. And I want to tell you something. You might have somebody in your life that need both their hands clean and their heart clean. Amen. And as I tell you about a man, the greatest story that ever told, if he can do it for a Lady Maccabee, then he can certainly do it in your situation. Amen. I don't care what you're going through, Jesus can fix it. Amen. He's the greatest story ever told, and he's the only story worth talking about. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And I'm gonna say it. It's one of the most... And sometimes it seems like it's the most ridiculous statement, but sometimes it just fits so appropriately. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Jesus, as the musicians would make their way forward. Father, we are just so grateful. Oh, for God that we serve. Lord, as we just look at the various lives of the different people in Scripture, you spoke through them to us. And if we can just in patience endure the things that we go through, Lord, we'll get a hope. We'll get an assurance. We'll get a faith that would calm us down and help us to realize that it's going to work out somehow, some way. This thing is going to turn around. God, we pray that we would just take comfort, take encouragement, take strength, Lord, from the word of God today. God, that we would just release it into your hands. And God, let us believe with everything we got, Lord. Have a complete confidence in the word of God that if you said it, then so shall it be. And there's nothing that the devil can do to stop you from manifesting yourself. Lord, I don't know what your people are going through, but you know all about it. But God, all I can do is point each one here back to the word of God. And as we, Lord, would just look into the word of God, then God, that's our source of strength. That's our hope. That's everything we need. It's right there in the word of God. It's not just stories that are being told, but it's a story. It's an account of past events evolving to something much greater. Something much greater that you want to do in and through us. Help us to yield ourselves to you, Lord Jesus, to your work, to your plan, to your purpose. Help us to yield to it, oh God, is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. While your heads are bowed, I just want to, amen, give the opportunity for anyone that just feel like, you know, I need my story, I need my life to intersect with Jesus Christ. I need him to just kind of make some rearrangements, make a difference in my life. If he can do it for Lady Maccabee, then certainly he can do it for you. So many that we could went through Scripture and their lives were going in one direction, but when they came in contact with the Lord Jesus, their lives have been changed. I think about Zacchaeus in that tree, trying to just look down upon Jesus to see what he do. But Jesus saw him in that tree and called him down from that situation. And his life was changed. Every disciple that he called, they were impacted by his love and by his message. The Ethiopian that was in the desert on the way back to his land, but heard of the message of Jesus Christ, his life was changed forever. There's so many, their lives have been changed. And today, if you really want to change in your life, I just want you to lift your hand. Nobody looking around. Just let God have this moment. Just let God have this moment. Oh, hallelujah. God see every hand in this place that's raised. There's God knows your hearts. God knows some of us, amen, just need a closer walk with the Lord. Some of us just need to allow our stories to intersect, to allow him to just take complete control. I just want to pray for you. And I just want, while I'm praying for you, I want you to just be praying in your heart and just, God, just hear the prayer. And Lord, hear the cry of my heart today. I need more of you, Jesus. I realize it. I recognize it. And Lord, I want to surrender to you, Jesus. God, you see the hands that are lifted in this place. This is your moment. This is your time, Jesus. God, that you can intersect with somebody's life right now and you can make a change in life. It don't take much. It just takes a sincere heart. I recall, Lord, my own life going in a particular direction. But one day, Lord, a lady offered me a tract And she just began to say, you don't have to wait till you get to church to give your heart to Jesus, but you can give your heart right to him in this parking lot. And I remember her sharing that, and she might have got in her car, and she left that day, amen, not knowing what I did. But one day I'll see her in heaven, and I'll be able to shake her hand and say, after you left that parking lot, I walked outside to get some carts, and I gave my heart to Jesus. Nobody was there to see me. But God, you knew that I gave my heart. And nobody's looking at the hands that are lifted in this place right now. But you know who's surrendering their heart. As you take control over that heart, as they invite you in to sit, amen, and control their hearts and control their situations and their circumstances, as they invite you in, God, I pray that you would take permanent residence. Oh, God. Amen. This is not a temporary fix. This is not, amen, a short-term solution. But Lord, this is the only solution. And God, as we've heard about your story and the great things that you've done, we believe if you've done it for others, then you can do it for us. Take our hearts and change it. Take our lives and take our situations and mold it and make it into what you would have it to be. God, I pray that each person, whatever they might have left at home, may they go back and find it the way that they believe it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give it to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just sing a few choruses of this song. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Let's sing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of love divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, filled with his blood. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Oh, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Oh, this is my story. This is my song. Oh, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Oh, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. Oh, perfect submission. Perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Oh, angels descending, bring from above. Oh, echoes of mercy, oh, whispers of love. This is my story. Oh, this is my story. Yes, this is my song. Oh, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Yes, this is my song. Oh, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Oh, this is my story.
Yes, this is my song. Oh, praising my Savior. Well, all the day long. Yes, this is my story. Oh, this is my song. Oh, praising my Savior. Oh, all the day long. One more time, this is my story. Oh, this is my story. Yes, this is my song. Oh, praising my Savior. Well, all the day long. Oh, this is my story. Yes, it is. This is my song. Oh, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, let's worship him, church. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just want to thank you, God. Amen. For all that you're doing in the midst of your people. I believe some lives have intersected with you today. And God, I believe change, amen, is taking place. I really believe it with all my heart. These are the things that we've been praying for, and we're seeing them manifested before our eyes. Jesus. Thank you for making my story history. The past is over, Lord. And man, I'm going into a new life today with you, Jesus. And God, I just can't wait to read the chapters that you have written for the life that I live. I pray, God, that you just be with everyone. And Lord, amen, all that was that happened here today, may we just begin to walk in it and not let anybody take our story from us. There's many that'll say, nothing happened to you, nothing happened. But we say right now, the devil is a liar. Something tremendous happened. I gave my heart to Jesus. I gave my situation to Jesus. And now that thing is about to change. I've never seen you get involved with anything that you couldn't fix. So glad that I can bring it to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just be with us as we leave this place, but not your presence. Bring us back at the appointed time this evening for our communion and our feet washing. Pray that you would meet us here, God, in the only way that you can. Communion is not for perfect people. None of us claim to be perfect. But what we do say is that we are living the best that we possibly can in the eyes of God and in the eyes of God's people. We're trying to live a life that will not bring reproach on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, we make mistakes, but we serve a God that's able to wash us from all of our sins. And we thank you, and we identify with the blood that was shed for us that continues to wash us over and over again. God, so we pray that you'd meet us here, and that healing, Lord, would even take place during the communion. God, just meet us here, God, in the only way that you can. Bless our time together this evening. As Lord, we also come back on Wednesday night and Friday night. We trust, God, that your spirit would just be with us and that you would keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give them praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, church. You can be seated. Amen. The story of Jesus is the greatest story that could ever be told. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you.